Today's program is brought to you by the International Culinary Center, offering courses that range from classic French techniques in culinary, pastry, and bread baking to Italian studies to management, from culinary technology to food writing, from cake making to wine tasting. For more information, visit culinarycenter.com.
I'm Damon Bolte, host of The Speakeasy. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
And the director of the New York Japanese Culinary Academy, which promotes a deeper understanding of Japanese cuisine in America. We are broadcasting live from a studio at Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn. This show is all about Japanese food and food culture. We see sushi at every deli and supermarket, but what is beyond sushi? We hear dashi, ramen, izakaya, but what exactly are they? Japanese food is still a mystery for many people, and I will try to demystify it in this program with my cool guests. And my guest today is Michelle Gardner, who is the co-owner of Chalet, a sunny cafe in West Village, which opened in December last year and serves tasty drinks made with matcha. Hello, and welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on the show.
So matcha is becoming increasingly popular in New York City lately. For instance, Starbucks serves matcha latte. But for listeners who are not familiar with matcha, could you tell us what it is?
Sure. So matcha, it comes from the same tea plant as every other tea. So Camellia sinensis is the tea plant. What is so different about matcha is that matcha is a shade-grown tea, which means that the tea field actually gets covered up about 2 weeks before harvesting. So the matcha produces a higher level of chlorophyll and amino acids, which gives it a very deep umami flavor. And the biggest difference is that matcha is ground into powder format, so you're actually ingesting the whole tea leaf rather than brewing the tea and extracting just water from the tea itself. Mm. So matcha, you consume the whole tea leaves and all the benefits.
Right. Okay. And so because you grow it in the shade, maybe it gets, leaves are softer and delicate and there's less astringent. That's what I heard.
Yes. It's very, in terms of flavor, it's much sweeter, less of the bitterness, and also it's very smooth.
Mm-hmm. Right. And you said umami, just in case, umami is the fifth taste after sweet, sour, bitter, salty, and that's a savory taste.
Yes.
And so that, is that the theanine? That's the, kind of amino acid?
Yes. Matcha contains a much, much higher level of antioxidants and amino acids than normal green tea because of the shade grown. If you look at, compared to normal tea leaves, matcha has about 137 times the amino acid content. So what that means is that's going to give it a lot more flavor. Mm. And that's where that umaminess comes from.
Okay. Yeah, because people think, matcha, it sounds like it's bitter, but it's not. It's a lot of umami.
Exactly. Right. Yes.
And sometimes sweet, isn't it?
Yes. There are many different grades of matcha. The higher grade you go, especially in the ceremonial category, the sweeter and smoother it gets.
Mm, okay. Right. So, and I heard it's also stone ground. It's not like big machine ground. It's a very delicate process.
Yes. It's really, truly amazing to see the tea farmers. Still to this day, a lot of the farmers keep the ancient tradition of picking the tea leaves by hand. And what they do is they pick the very tip of the tea leaf. Usually for the ceremonial style, you pick during first flushing and you take that tea leaves and then you grind it with the big wheel of stone, and it takes a long time to get it into that fine powder that we ingest. So to just give you an idea, we carry some matcha at our shop. 40 grams of matcha tea in one tin will take over an hour to produce.
Wow.
So it's quite labor intensive. Mm-hmm. And we really appreciate the art.
Right. It sounds like, you know, the olive oil, expensive olive oil, the first press, that kind of. Yeah, and also I heard that, you know, there are so many traditional tea houses in Japan. And in order to keep taste of tea consistent every year, each tea house blends different leaves from different field and from the same year. And each blend has a poetic name, such as Sound of Mist, Early Evening White, Star of Hawk, something like that.
Yeah.
And this reminds me of winemakers blending different types of grapes. So, so much as maybe just like a fine wine.
Yeah, that's how I try to explain to people the different grades as well. It's very similar to if you look at from different winery to winery, how the terroir differs, and also how the in-house sommelier decides to blend each wine, or very similar to wine making. But for matcha, they have the tea masters within each tea farm, and then they choose, well, whether they use the tender leaves from first flushing, blended maybe with previous year, and it's they have, each tea house has its own tea profile that they target for.
Wow. That's great.
Yeah.
yeah, and of course they have different labels, just like wine, right?
Yeah.
So maybe you can tell us when matcha was born and became so popular in Japan?
Sure. So tea was first introduced to Japan right around the 9th century, and they were introduced by priests who traveled to China and brought the seeds back to Japan and started cultivating its own and processing in the powder format. And then it was in somewhere between 12th century to about 16th century where the matcha was, you know, became more popular, but only really to the noble family and to the elite, because it was the tea ceremony was, you know, something very special, and there was only a handful of merchants who were approved to process the tea and also to sell the tea. So at the time, it was only being consumed by the elite, by the samurais, and by the shoguns, but not
shogun
really.
Is like a lords.
Right. And it really wasn't available to the common people.
Mm.
So then in about 18th century, that's where the processing methods improved quite a bit, and the processing of matcha became more efficient. So still, to this day, you know, we're the matcha farmers, they're still picking the tea leaves by hand, but there's a lot of equipments being introduced and to make the process more efficient. And that's when you started to see that matcha was being enjoyed by everyone.
It's more democratized in a way.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
And you just mentioned the tea ceremony. So I think it's very important, you know, the matcha has been, if you ask a Japanese person what is matcha, and they would say it's used in tea ceremony. But yeah, that's just, it's been true. And there was a, you know, I want to mention that, you know, the tea ceremony, it is a, you know, ceremonial preparation and presentation of tea, but it's not just drinking tea, but it's a spiritual aspect that's strongly emphasized. And that means you enjoy tea in a rustic, simple environment rather than a festive party setting. And your focus is the hospitality to your guests. So, yeah, that's, you know, that's a Japanese way. And what you're doing is a little different from, you know, I mean, our Japanese people are doing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But I think for myself, for example, I found matcha to be very calming. It's a very different form of caffeine that you're taking in. So matcha does include some levels of caffeine. If you compare it to coffee, it's about 70% of the caffeine level as coffee for the same size. But what I do notice is because the L-theanine contained in matcha, that it's a more even dose. So it really keeps me, it helps me concentrate better, keeps me alert, but it definitely takes away some of that jitteriness that you feel with coffee.
Okay.
So in a way, especially in the mornings, I wake up and I always start out my day with the matcha because I just feel like it's sort of my moment when I have my matcha. Mm-hmm. It's when I meditate, you know, the whisking in the W shape, and it's very meditating as well. Yeah.
That's great. So, Yeah, all right. And by the way, I just have to mention this. So there, you know, the ceremonial spiritual part of tea ceremony is actually established by a man called Senno Rikyu in 16th century. And he was a guy, he was a merchant and intellectual, but he was not afraid of preaching the most powerful samurais to follow his philosophy of tea ceremony. And eventually he had to kill himself, I mean, ordered to kill himself by one of those biggest men. But, you know, I think that's the essence of matcha, and the Japanese people are very proud of this Senno Rikyu. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to mention it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So so actually what you're doing at Chalet is even more democratizing matcha beyond mm-hmm. the Japanese border. So so first, let's talk about how you got into matcha and opened Chalet in December last year.
Sure, sure. So I was introduced to matcha many years ago. I lived in Hong Kong while working there, and I started drinking matcha in the mornings. And to me, it became a daily ritual. And then when I moved back to the U.S., it was really, really hard to find a good place to find matcha, good mm-hmm. quality matcha. There's, of course, a lot of green tea desserts, green tea frappuccinos, and very sweetened versions of mm-hmm. matcha. But it was really, really hard to find the quality tea in its mm-hmm. own original form.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought about it, and at the time, you know, I still worked in finance industry, and I was too scared to do anything on my own. But then I introduced the tea to my soon-to-be husband mm-hmm. When we took a trip to Japan, and he fell in love with it as well. Mm-hmm. And he said, why don't we do this? Why don't we bring this amazing tea to New York? And that's when a light bulb went off in my head, because I've always wanted to have a business of my own, especially in the restaurant and mm-hmm. hospitality business. I've always enjoyed entertaining people and having people over. The hospitality of serving someone something that they truly enjoyed mm-hmm. was very, very attractive to me and always made me happy.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought it's, you know, a career path that I wanted to try it out. And this is a perfect opportunity. Mm-hmm. And for a great product. So we started planning for it, and it was about 2.5 years ago that I left the world of finance. And mm-hmm.
So you are doing in banking and the delivery yes. equity?
Yeah. I was crunching numbers and derivatives mm-hmm. and I was doing a lot of, you know, analysis and report writing
mm-hmm.
and then all of a sudden I started to switch gears and I started to attend night schools, getting a degree in culinary management to just kind of figure my way around how to own and manage a place.
Mm-hmm.
And then about 6 months into the course, I really just fell in love with it. And I quit my job and I found a coffee shop who was willing to take me in and teach me everything, all the in and outs of running a small cafe.
Mm. As and also as a barista.
Yes, right. As a barista. I learned how to make coffee, and it was truly an amazing year. It was such a different life experience. So I did that for about a year, and then I graduated from school, and it was about then that I wanted to start looking for a place.
Mm.
And that was about last year, summer, and we started doing the build-out for Chalet, I would say September, and it took us a few months to get the place ready, but mm-hmm. we've been very, very fortunate to have a good location.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I think it's a great place to introduce a new product.
Mm-hmm.
It's very visible, and we get a lot of tourists who walk by, so not only are we reaching out to you know, residents of New York, but mm-hmm. we're really reaching out to whoever's visiting New York, whoever's mm-hmm. walking around the West Village.
Okay, yeah. Right. So before I get into the concept of Chalet,
sure.
What's the aha moment in Kyoto that you have? You had at the tea ceremony
yeah.
when you tasted matcha?
Kyoto's always a special place in my heart. It's probably my favorite city in the world.
Wow.
And that I've visited so far. I'd love to travel. But Kyoto, I find that it's very much still old world. It preserves its traditions. It's very calming. It's very zen. I love the people there. I love the culture. And I love the accessibility to amazing tea houses everywhere you go. Mm-hmm. So as we were walking from temple to temple, we could stop off anywhere and mm-hmm. have a cup of matcha prepared the traditional method. And then, you know, that would be accompanied by a wagashi. And mm-hmm. everything was just, the whole experience was mm-hmm. just amazing. Right. And I look forward to going back every couple of years.
So you said, you know, like a cafe, right? You mm-hmm. just stop by, just, you know, order matcha. But is a traditional method? What is that for the listeners who never tried a traditional matcha?
Yeah, so matcha prepared in the traditional way, usually it's you take the matcha tea, you sift it through, and they usually serve it in a bowl.
Like a beautiful...
It's a beautiful ceramic bowl, right, which they first heat up, and then they sift the tea right into the bowl. Then they add very little water, and compared to how we have tea normally in the U.S., which is, you know, a mug of tea, mm-hmm. there it's about, you're getting about 2 ounces of water only. Mm-hmm. And so it's a very small drink. I almost describe it as how the Italians have their espresso on the go. So this is sort of the tea espresso of in Japan. So you could stop anywhere in the cafe and mm-hmm. they will prepare it that way.
And it's prepared with the wooden bamboo whisk.
Exactly.
By hand.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. And then you kind of, and you know, the, like double espresso maybe, but they whisk and then the bubbles on top, like
yes,
you know, cappuccino kind of. And
exactly.
The bright green and the color is amazing.
Yeah, the beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful, vibrant green color. And it helps aerate the tea. Mm-hmm. And it really tastes that lovely, smooth. I describe it sort of like a dark chocolate flavor. It's really, really nice. Mm.
And you mentioned also the wagashi. That's the traditional Japanese sweets.
Right.
And let's just quickly go back, you know, the tea ceremony. Mm-hmm. There's a part of the ceremony. It's like the host serve tea as well as wagashi. That's the Japanese traditional sweets.
Right.
And very seasonal and then shaped like flowers.
Yes,
like
it's that. Absolutely beautiful. The wagashi, usually you have matcha. Matcha, it has that hint of bitterness, which they balance it out by serving you something sweet at the end. One of my favorite is sort of this mochi filled with it's a sesame peanut paste in mm-hmm. in the center. It's delicious. And then during sakura season, they always have the ones shaped like the cherry blossom, which is also gorgeous.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm getting hungry now. Right. So, well, let's talk about the concept of chalet.
Yep. So, when we started thinking about how we wanted to introduce matcha in chalet, mm-hmm. that we know that matcha is very new to the Western world. Although we've seen it, Starbucks has introduced it. I think Peace Coffee a couple of years back, they introduced it. But so far, it's presented in more of a very sweetened version. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to introduce it more the traditional way as well as some westernized way of serving it. Mm-hmm. But we also wanted the environment to be very friendly and opening and mm-hmm. Comfortable. So I think for anyone to try anything new, just being in a familiar surrounding and being able to recognize things on the menu also helps. So we kind of toyed with the concept, and what we decided to do was, well, everyone in the West is familiar with the coffee menu. Mm. So if you think about the coffee menu, let's translate that to matcha. So having matcha as our tea shot, mm-hmm. and we build drinks on top of that. Mm-hmm. So the most traditional way is our shot of matcha on the menu. So that is, we actually whisk it in the bowl with the bamboo whisk and just serve it straight up, just tea and water. Very
simple. Who does that? Who does your staff
person? Yeah, our baristas. Yes, our baristas are all certifiedly trained to make the matcha as well as the coffee drinks. And they go through a fairly, you know, in-depth training on tea as well as coffee.
Okay, great. So now let's take a quick break here. And when we come back, we'll talk about what we can drink at the chalet and the health benefits of matcha. So please stay with us.
The International Culinary Center is a proud sponsor of the HeritageRadioNetwork.org. The ICC, with locations in New York and California, provide cutting-edge education to future chefs, restaurateurs, and wine professionals. We're proud to claim Dan Barber, Bobby Flay, and David Chang among our honored alumni. This is Dorothy Cann Hamilton from Chef Story. Check out our ICC website at internationalculinarycenter.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Japan Eats, broadcasting live from a studio in Bushwick, Brooklyn. I'm your host, Akiko Katayama, and my guest today is Michelle Gardner, who is the co-owner of Chalet, a Western-style cafe which serves delicious Japanese matcha drinks. So we're going to talk about what you can drink at the Chalet in a moment, but first let's talk about the health benefit of matcha, because that's one of the reasons why Americans started drinking matcha. I'm a lot of healthy people.
Yes. So we definitely have seen a pickup in trend in matcha starting this year. We actually, our shop opened in good timing, I think, mainly because I think overall everyone is seeking to live a healthier lifestyle these days. Everyone's eating healthier. You see a lot more health conscious shops opening up, like such as Organic Avenue, Liquateria, and you know, a lot of people want to live longer and want to live healthier. Mm-hmm. So, and matcha is perfect for that because, you know, if we look at the beverage menu these days, a lot of drinks contain loads of sugar, caffeine, and, you know, and matcha is a great alternative if you want to live a healthier lifestyle. Just some of the most beneficial health factors of matcha is that matcha contains so much antioxidants and amino acids compared to your normal cup of tea. So what we talked about earlier is that compared to normal green tea, matcha has about 137 times the amino acid content. In terms of nutrient level, and that's, you know, we're talking about the vitamins and fiber, it's about 10 times as the normal cup of tea. Matcha is also shown in studies to help fight cancer. The amino acid L-theanine in matcha, that is a stress reducer. So that's when we think about matcha as something that makes you alert but calm at the same time. It's the L-theanine doing its thing.
So the combination of the L-theanine and the caffeine can boost your energy without feeling too much jittery or having crash like when you drink coffee.
Exactly. And it boosts metabolism. It's proven to help heart disease, lowers the LDL cholesterol level.
Wow.
So I think, you know, there's been a lot of studies out and a lot of people have been pushing matcha, but I think it's only recently that it's really come into spotlight.
Okay, right. But actually, the matcha used to be drunk among, you know, monks, right?
Right.
Centuries. So, yes. Because they can focus on meditation, like you said you did.
Yep.
And so it's the proven health benefit already.
Right.
I don't know how many centuries, like thousands, over a thousand years.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, when matcha was first introduced, I think back in 12th century, it was all the monks who drank it, and it would help them meditate for hours.
Falling asleep.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
I definitely feel that in the mornings when I drink matcha, and when I have a list of, you know, things on my to-do list, it helps me organize things a little bit better and think clearly.
Great. All right. And do you think, based on that health benefit of matcha, do you think matcha can replace coffee?
I think matcha, it complements coffee. I think to a coffee drinker who consumes two or more cups of coffee a day, maybe just think about having a matcha in the afternoon hours. So in the morning, if you're used to waking up with a coffee, you know, go for it. But I think it's a great alternative if in the afternoon you feel a bit sluggish and you want to pick me up. Matcha's great for that. For people who don't normally drink coffee, I highly recommend trying matcha. If you just need a little bit of a kick, toothpick to get you through the day. Mm-hmm. One, you know, you're getting all that benefit from ingesting the whole tea leaf. And then it also does have some caffeine to keep you awake.
Mm. So you said it's 70% of regular coffee. Mm-hmm. That's a caffeine.
Yeah.
Amount.
Yeah, right. It's right around there. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, in terms of whether I think it's going to replace coffee, it's hard to say now. I think tea culture in general in the West is not as strong. I think if you look at Asia and even some parts of Europe, mm-hmm. the tea culture is much stronger there. Right. We have afternoon tea, and you know, growing up in Asia, I always had tea throughout the day. I think I drank more tea than water.
Okay.
But I think especially in the U.S., we think to wake up with coffee, and definitely, you know, you see coffee on the menu a lot more, and tea oftentimes is overlooked. And I'm really trying to build a stronger tea program at our shop to introduce great quality tea.
Right. And actually, for instance, 11 Madison Park, that's a 3-star Michelin restaurant, they have a very strong tea program. You know, so
definitely.
There may be some silver lining of tea future in
yes.
this country
yes.
or in this city.
Yeah, we actually decided to work with a very... We love the company In Pursuit of Tea. They're phenomenal in terms of tea selection. They always go for they offer the best quality tea in each category. And
so the owner Sebastian Beckwith,
right.
he's I've known him for a while, and he just goes to the actual farms
exactly.
all over the world and find the best of the best.
Yeah,
right.
I'm always so surprised. I just had a tea tasting with him last week, and he's showing me all these great new pickings. And, you know, I love working with him. And I think together, the tea community is getting stronger by the day. Like you said, Love and Madison's paying attention to it. And I think Atera is doing a great tea tasting menu. Mm-hmm. And I think we're seeing tea popping up a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But I think it'll still take time.
Right. Okay. So what can we drink at Chalet?
So, at Chalet, we have an extensive matcha menu. Like I mentioned earlier, we build the matcha menu based on the espresso menu. So think of everything you would get on a coffee shop espresso-based beverage menu, like a cortado or a cappuccino, but you can translate that using matcha as your shot. Mm-hmm. So we have the cha, which is with straight up matcha and water. And then we have a matcha cortado, which is about 5 ounces. There's about 2 ounces of matcha and topped off with milk. So it's a little, in my mind, that's my favorite drink. It's the perfect balance between the sweetness of the milk that we use and the matcha.
Right.
And then if you want it, especially in the wintertime, our larger matcha milk drinks are very popular.
Mm.
We do a matcha hot chocolate, which we use 100% Ghanaian chocolate. We make a nut ganache with that.
Mm.
And we add matcha powder. And that's been very popular.
Mm-hmm.
And then now going into the summer months, we have matcha seasonal drinks. So right now what's been popular is we do a mint and cucumber fizz. It's basically matcha tea with muddled up with some cucumber, mint, and then we top it off with sparkling water. Very
and I
refreshing.
Tasted it. It's very refreshing.
Thank you.
And somehow matcha tastes sweet. It is no, it's natural sweet, not
natural,
sugary,
right.
But it's like very subtle, but it's very delicate.
Yeah. Yeah. We like to pair it with very delicate flavors because matcha is delicate, and it often can be drawn out when you add it to many other things.
Mm.
But with a cucumber, a little bit of mint, everything kind of complements.
Mm. And at Chalet, you can choose milk, 3 types of milk, the regular milk, almond milk, and the soy milk.
Yep,
so.
Correct. Yeah, we try to accommodate for everybody. And in addition to the matcha menu, we do offer the tea program, which I work with Sebastian and Anna on. And we also have a great coffee program as well. We're fairly strong on our dual beverage program because we want everyone to walk into Chalet and be able to find something that they like.
Mm.
So if you come in and you're not a tea drinker, that's okay. We have coffee.
Mm-hmm. Right. And the space is, you know, like big walls of windows. Mm-hmm. You know, windows are so sunny. and inviting.
Yeah.
So it's very comfortable. And the prices are from $375 to $525. Mm-hmm. That's like comparable to other coffee places.
Yeah, I think our pricing point, it's in line with, you know, similar shops in the city. And matcha, I think often people forget just how labor intensive it is to cultivate and to process mm-hmm. the tea. And that's why when you even shop for matcha online or at the grocery store, it is a premium tea compared to other loose leaf teas mm-hmm. because of the post-processing. You have to grind it into the powder format.
Right. And also, you know, the screen that for the last couple, you know, last few weeks before
exactly.
the harvest, you have to put up screen, and it's a lot of work.
Yeah, it's really a form of art, and we definitely have a deep appreciation for it.
Mm. Right. And you sell matcha chocolate, you know, and then the matcha yogurt and granola?
Yeah, we, so in addition to the matcha beverages, we try to incorporate matcha into our food menu as well. So matcha shows up in our white matcha chocolate bark, which has a lot of different nuts, goji berries, and so it's got a lot of different textural elements to mm-hmm. it. And then we also add it to our Greek yogurt with a little honey and granola. And we also have a matcha carrot ginger dressing mm-hmm. with our salads. And we just try to play around with a lot of different recipes. Right now, for example, our muesli toast, we just changed to our spring-summer menu. Mm-hmm. So it has the Greek yogurt, it has a matcha custard, lots of different seasonal fruits and nuts, and with a little bit of honey.
Mm-hmm.
It's delicious.
Right. And that's interesting because it's a fine powder. It's very versatile when you want to use it for cooking mm-hmm. and just... you know, sprinkle over something.
And, definitely. Right. It's very versatile. I think if you are out shopping for matcha, look out for the different grades, because when you're baking or when you're adding matcha to food items, you want to pick up the culinary grade because mm-hmm. You do need a bit of the bitterness to come through to balance out mm-hmm. with whatever you're adding it to. However, if you use the ceremonial grade, mm-hmm. You won't taste so much of the subtle sweetness from it because the other flavors might drown it out.
Okay, so the first, you know, you said the first press, second press kind of olive oil. That's the, mm-hmm. you know, the ceremonial one is first cold press,
right.
and the second one is a little more bolder
yes.
flavor.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
And can you tell when you shop? Can you tell? They say?
Yes. When you're out shopping, it'll say on the tin whether it's ceremonial or culinary. And also pricing points, you can tell. Of course, the culinary grade will be at a lower price.
Okay.
Yep.
Right. By the way, I have my favorite summer snack, which is chilled tofu.
Oh, yes.
And I put some soy, but on top, I sprinkle a little bit of matcha.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and the color becomes so beautiful.
It's so beautiful.
Yeah.
I do very similar. I have, I mix matcha with a little bit of sea salt,
mm-hmm.
and I sprinkle over the tofu.
Oh,
it's delicious.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Right. And for some reason, I think that, you know, it's not dissolved in water,
mm-hmm.
so I have a bigger energy boost by having the powder directly on top
yeah.
tofu. Right. So who are buying matcha drinks at the chalet?
It's really surprising to see everybody who lives in the neighborhood that we've introduced matcha to. They fell in love with it, and now it's becoming part of their daily rituals. So we're seeing everybody from every age group, from every race, from every ethnic background getting involved in the matcha trend.
Mm.
And I think everything circles back to living a healthier lifestyle.
Mm.
Yeah, so we get a very diverse crowd where we are as well.
Mm.
We're right on the corner of 7th Avenue and Christopher Street. So in that corner, it's very visible. And, you know, everyone who walks by, even if they're from, some other state, the walk-ins, like, they'll ask, what is matcha? And, you know, one of our knowledgeable staff will explain to them and maybe give them a little sample to try.
Right. Yeah. So have you seen any converts who came first for coffee to chalet and then to try the matcha.
Definitely. I have had a lot of people who switch their morning coffee to matcha, which is really, you know, amazing to see, because I know how much of a habit coffee can be, and to see them switch is really remarkable. We get a lot of people who says that it helps with, you know, their stomach. Sometimes coffee can give you acid reflux or just makes your tummy a little uncomfortable. So matcha helps with that. And then other people have come in and told me, oh, matcha makes my skin clearer. And, you know, everyone finds their own little way of how it's benefiting them. And that's great to hear.
Right. Actually, in Japan, I think there is, among young women, people believe that makes your skin better. So that may be true. Right. Okay, and which item are the most popular, like top three items?
Top three. Well, right now, because the weather is so warm, the seasonal fizz that we have, the mint cucumber, it's definitely the top seller. And then I think the matcha iced tea, just without any sugar or anything added to it, just tea and water, it's definitely very popular as well. And then with the milk-based drinks, the cortado is definitely the most popular. I think you know, if you think about the larger lattes, 12 ounces of milk, it's quite a lot of dairy for a lot of people these days, so they prefer to have a smaller drink.
Well, it sounds like people really appreciate the pure flavor of matcha.
Yes. Right. We definitely notice that with the bigger drinks, some of that subtlety of matcha gets lost, and people will kind of figure their way around and start moving towards the smaller drinks where you can taste the matcha more.
Interesting. Yeah. Right. And you also sell matcha powders.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, we work with a farm directly from Kyoto who supplies all of our matcha.
Kyoto Uji.
Yes.
The Uji, I think, is what the most famous.
It's very, very well known. It's sort of how you think about wine regions, what kind of climate, soil, what, you know, what's best for growing tea. And I think Uji hits all the points. It's got the white varying temperatures from night to day. And also it has the rich soil. It's near water. And it's also got that mistiness to it.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's great for producing matcha. So we work with a farmer out there who supply our ceremonial level tea.
Right. Did you visit the farm?
Yes, it's absolutely beautiful.
Wow.
And it's really, that's the best part of it. We're hoping to go back next year during harvest.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's great. Right. So what's the, you have a little tin, beautiful tin of matcha,
Thank you. Yeah, we sell the matcha by 40 gram tins, which gives you about 20 servings. And we noticed that people who are regulars to our shop, sometimes if they're going away for vacation or if they're going away to the beach for the weekend, they'll take the tin with them, so they never stop having matcha while they're away.
Wow.
So, yeah, you know, for us, it was more just having some on the retail shelves, and but we're actually starting to see a pickup in retail sales.
Wow.
Yeah.
That seems you're very successful in educating customers.
We try our best. We try our best.
Right. Great. So if you get a tin, how do you prepare matcha?
Very simple. So with the tin, you could either whisk it traditionally, and you can use any bowl.
You sell whisks too?
Yes.
Right?
We actually sell a starter set, which includes everything you would need to make it the traditional method. So it comes with a 100-prong bamboo whisk. It comes with a bamboo scoop. It comes with a whisk holder, which helps your whisks stay in shape, which makes them last a lot
and
longer.
And a whisk looks like really beautiful piece of art.
Yes, it's beautiful. I mean, it's the little prawns are so tiny, and yeah, it's really pretty. And the bowls are amazing, and you can get so many different varieties. We just carry two in our shop, but if you have a look around town, there's many, many great culinary shops that sells really intricate, beautifully hand-painted porcelain bowls.
Nice.
So when you're at home, just literally, you know, about half a teaspoon gets you about 2 grams mm-hmm. of matcha.
Okay.
Then add hot water, but not boiling. Mm-hmm. 175 will be perfect. But if you can't get there, just add a splash of cold water. Because mm-hmm. the hotter the water, you're going to burn the tea leaves. So it's going to bring out more of the bitterness.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Right. And if you don't want to make something more like espresso drinks, can you do that at home too?
Yes, definitely. These days, you could either buy one of those milk frothers,
mm-hmm.
or you could as simple as sticking the milk of your choice in the microwave for about a minute and then, you know, add it to the matcha that you already prepared. So it's very simple. And you can add honey or agave,
right.
whatever sweeteners.
Right. And also you can use, of course, in sweets, baking.
Yes. I add it to morning smoothies all the time.
Okay.
So I got one of those Nutribullets for Christmas, and I've been adding matcha to it and all these superfoods, you know.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you were very courageous to quit your job and then opening this business. How do you feel now?
It was a big leap of faith, you know, and I'm really, really happy with how the store has turned out, how well received it is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just so blessed to have like the best team of people to work with as well, and my baristas, they really give it all to try to promote matcha and to prepare the most delicious drink.
Wow, that's great.
So well, I'm happy to be here now.
Well, I appreciate the Japanese, you know, this is Japanese. I really appreciate what you do.
thank you.
So thank you for joining us today, Michelle. And good luck.
Thank you very much for having me.
So listeners, if you'd like to know more about Chalait, please visit chalait.com. That's chalait.com. And if you have any questions or comments, please contact us at heritageradionetwork.org. And you can also reach me at akikokatayama.com. Japan Eats is live at 3 p.m. on Mondays and always available at heritageradionetwork.org. I will see you next week.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us with questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.